James chapter 5, we're going to read verses 13 down through verse 20, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Let's do this tonight so I can engage you. I'll read the odd verses, and you read out loud the even verses. Can we do that? All right. James chapter 5. And I'll begin in verse 13. All right, so you got those instructions? I'll read the odd verses, and you read the even verses. Got that, Jim? You're really... it's okay. It's all right. Let's begin. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Okay, you're losing some energy there, but you're doing okay. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, all right, there you go. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study tonight. Speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity that you give us to gather here tonight. Might this time be a very profitable time, a meaningful time. Help us to block out the cares of the day or the week. And just for these next several minutes, think about your word. Think about how it applies to our lives. Make application for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we want to look at the topic of a heart for God with regards to prayer. A heart for prayer. So on your handout, our writer that I read this week said this: prayer is the act of the believer coming boldly into the presence of a mighty God, so he can draw close to his God and obtain grace and mercy for his daily need. So important, so vital, prayer life to our walk with the Lord. So important that if we're really going to grow and mature in the faith, that we have to pray. And it just goes without saying. A Christian is made in an instant, meaning when you accept Christ as your Savior, you're instantly saved. But a disciple of Christ is a lifetime really in the making. You're just always growing and becoming more and more, ought to be growing and becoming more and more like the Lord. So a couple of simple points here in dealing with a heart for prayer, and how important it is as we deal with the topic, a heart for God. So, one of the lessons that I did was examining our hearts. Well, we need to examine our heart for prayer tonight and see where that's at. I think for many Christians, prayer becomes nothing more than crisis management. You know what I mean by that? Crisis management. That meaning the fact that we have... Not all Christians, and I'm not accusing anyone here of this, but it's just kind of a generality that we know we're supposed to pray. We do our prayer at our breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we come to church and we pray. But do we really develop a whole prayer life? And if you don't do that, then you might be the type of person that really only bends a knee during a crisis time. That something's happening, something's going on, and now all of a sudden you're a great prayer warrior because you're trying to deal with the crisis that's happening in your life. But that's not really what the Lord has for us, nor what the Lord desires for us to have. It's not that crises don't come, and it's not that we can't ask and have the Lord help us manage through those crises. But that shouldn't be what drives us to our knees and drives us to prayer. So a number of things here that we can see as we read verses 13 down through verse number 20. And so there's some things that we'll look at in just a few minutes. Like in verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Well, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Any sick among you?" We'll talk about all of that in just a moment. But the purpose of prayer on your handout, just before we even get into this, and it'll kind of all dovetail or tie together. First of all, prayer is important because prayer is what gives us, and here's your first fill in the blank, it gives us daily strength. It gives us daily strength. I think we would all agree tonight that we can either live out our day in our own strength, or we can live out our day in the strength of the Lord. Amen? Well, prayer is what strengthens us. And yesterday I was doing some work for my son, and I'm really not a big breakfast eater, but I was going to be doing some physical labor. And so for me, I had a fairly good-sized breakfast because I knew that I was going to be active and I was going to be outside and I was going to be doing things. And a cup of coffee and a piece of toast just wasn't going to do it for me. So I needed that strength. But the same can be said about prayer. We have to each day, our prayer time is, in addition to our Bible reading time, is we're feeding ourselves. And you're going to feed yourself with something. And our prayer time is where we gain our daily strength to get through the day. Paul said to the church in Ephesians, "Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord." And that comes, part of that is our prayer time. "Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God." Well, that's where we get our strength to get through the day. And truly, just strength to get through the day, it doesn't have to be a long prayer time, but as we set out each day, we should ask, even if it's just a very short prayer, you know, Lord, I need your strength just to get through the day. Because we live in a world that's contrary to the things of God. And it's God strengthening us. When James here said, look what he says in verse number 13, the second part of it. "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Well, the singing of psalms. Some of the psalms were David's prayer unto the Lord. But just some of the choruses, you know, that we sing. Sometimes we sing the chorus, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, that's a type of praise. And in prayer, when we praise the Lord, that strengthens us. When we do our 6:30 prayer meeting on Friday mornings, whether it's me or sometimes it's Pastor Ethan, we always remind those that are there, let's just start with a short prayer. Before you begin to pray about whatever that issue is, let's just, whoever would like to, take a few minutes and just try to praise the Lord in our prayer time. The Lord doesn't need to be reminded of how great He is, but He likes it when His children acknowledge how great He is and how wonderful He is. And when we're thankful for the salvation that He has provided for us through the shed blood of the cross. But all of this is what strengthens us throughout the day. So one of the purposes of prayer here, in the first fill in the blank, is just for you and I to get the daily strength that we need to get through each and every day that God gives us. But the second fill in the blank is more of a practical thing. It's a daily process. It's something that needs to become habitual in our lives. Not habitual to the fact that it's meaningless, but habitual to the fact that it is beneficial to us. You know, we know that the Scriptures teach us not to use vain, repetitious prayer. Amen? So our prayer life shouldn't be vain and repetitious either. It's not that sometimes we don't use some of the same phrases when we pray, but part of that daily process, it's just talking to the Lord. You know, if you're married and you talk to your husband, you talk to your wife, you don't say the same thing to them. I mean, there are some things you do say, good morning, you know, but then you have a conversation. And so this daily process that we have with the Lord, it starts by asking the Lord to give us the strength to get through the day, but it's got to be a daily process. So that means there's got to be a time. At some point, it might not be the same time. You know, even some of my own personal, my devotional Bible reading used to always be in the morning, but now I find myself often doing it like in the afternoon. So whatever works for you, it just needs to be a daily type of a process. And then when we do that, it reminds us of a daily presence. That's the third fill in the blank, the purpose of prayer. Daily strength, it's got to be a daily process, but it is a daily presence. Paul said to the church in Philippi, "Let your moderation be known amongst all men. The Lord is at hand." That means the Lord is there all of the time. Well, the purpose of prayer is not only to strengthen us, not only to get us into the habit. Romans talks about having a special prayer place, a prayer closet, a place where we can go. And maybe you have a special place that you go, that's where you spend your time in prayer. I have several different places that I pray around my house and my property, depending on the time of year it is. And that's just my spot that I can get alone. When my kids were all at home, one of the places I would do a lot of talking to the Lord in the summer was in the midst of my garden weeding, because no one would bother me when I was weeding. They all would stay as far away as they could. But that was a quiet place. Do you have a quiet place? Do you have a quiet time? Because it reminds us of the Lord's presence in our lives. And you know what? I think a lot of people, they really lack a joy in their life because they don't spend any time in prayer. They're Christians, but they don't spend any time with the Lord in prayer. And you rob yourself of the joy of the Lord. You begin to worry about everything. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. I quote that verse, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We all get caught up in how are we going to take care of this? And what are we going to do about this? And how is this going to work out? And well, there's no prayer life. That's all you think about. So prayer life is meant to supplant that, to just spend that time with God and knowing that God's there. God's in control of all things. And it's our nature to want everything. We want to know this is the way it is, and this is the way it's got to be, and this is the way it's got to be, and this is the way that it's got to be. Well, it doesn't always work that way. But I do know this, that God knows this is the way that it's supposed to be, and that's the way that it's supposed to be, and this is the way that it's... So, it's part of living by faith. And just trusting God by faith for everything in our lives. It's where we get the strength to live by faith. No prayer life, you're not living by faith. We want everything, all of our ducks in a row. It doesn't work that way in a Christian life. Especially if you're active with serving the Lord and with your time and with your finances. It's just living by faith. Trusting God by faith. So look on your handout. I wrote here Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus said this, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth." I was at the Adult Day Center today doing my service. Let me just stop there. And it's really cool because there's about four or five people at the daycare who are pretty well grounded in the scriptures. So I can ask questions, and they give the answers. And then that answer just kind of leads to, you know, a whole discussion. You know, so I haven't gone to the day center in 4 or 5 years with anything prepared. To my prayer. Because something, we get into a discussion about something. And then I know they want to talk about it. And if I just gave a sermon, or by the time I'm halfway through it, they always sound asleep. But many of them are engaged. Some of them still are sound asleep. All depends on how hot it is in there. But I asked that question today to them, and almost in unison, except for the two or three that already fell asleep. I said, "Does God always answer prayer?" And they, "Oh, yes." They said, "Yes." And do we always get what we want in prayer? They all knew. No. No. So I thought that was really good that they understood that. And God always answers our prayers. Amen? It's just sometimes yes, and it's just sometimes no. Because I think one of the ladies says, because God knows best. And so let's start again. Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there up today? Let me stop there. So Gideon rides with me on the van. And I said, now you need to go and see if Eddie's going to come tonight. But Gideon, you need to knock hard. Because Gideon is kind of, not always, I've seen him the opposite, but a lot of times Gideon's kind of a gentle soul. I've seen him when he's not such a gentle soul. But sometimes he would... Gideon, when you get to the door, you've got to knock hard. I know, Grandpa. He said, I know, I'll do that. So today he knocked good and hard, and Eddie came and he got onto the van. But that's the knocking. When our prayer time is knocking. And because the Lord tells us to do that. Then he goes on and says, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts or good things to them that ask him? So we're encouraged all through the scriptures to have a prayer life and to talk to the Lord and to knock and seek and ask. That's part of our, so much part of our Christian walk and our Christian testimony. So look at a couple of things here. He says this in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Well, the word afflicted means, do you have any hardships that are going on right now? It could be any type of a hardship. It could be, you know, we're praying for people who have lost a loved one and the grief and the burden of losing a loved one. It could be some other burden, you know, that you're dealing with, that you've been afflicted by. Could be some kind of a financial setback. Any number of things. Could be a spiritual attack that you're dealing with. But James writes here, is any among you afflicted? Well, pray about it. Pray about it. I think we go through life with different things going on. We're afflicted by things and we don't spend time in prayer. Go to the Lord and pray. And then I've already mentioned the next part of it. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. We'll lift up our voices and praise the Lord. Is any sick among you? I know that one of the things that we were sure to pray for, whether here Wednesday night or on our Friday morning prayer time, was Jim Thompson's son. And we prayed for him. He's doing much better. He's doing pretty well, right? So we praise the Lord for that. We understand that the importance of prayer. Sometimes people don't even know that we're praying for them. They don't know. And I think sometimes... It's good for us to remind them that we're praying for them so that they realize sometimes the fact that their health improves not always just from a medical point of view. It could very well be from a spiritual point of view. And so we've seen that. We've prayed for people. We've also prayed for people who were sick and they didn't get healed. Right? And we've seen that. So it works both ways. I don't know why. Sometimes God heals someone and sometimes God doesn't heal someone. But we pray for them because they're sick. Whether it's something like the flu or something like cancer, we pray for them because we're commanded, we're told to pray for them. A whole point of our prayer list is to have people that we're praying for. And however God uses that. So we see that here. That's part of our daily prayer life. And in fact, it could even be verse 14, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, my understanding, too, the anointing of the oil is really symbolic. There's nothing special about the oil. There's nothing supernatural about the oil. But oil in the Bible is a representation of the Holy Spirit of God. And anointing someone with oil, in my mind, as I read through this and as I understand it, is just a symbolic way. It's like laying on of hands. It's just saying for the Lord to go ahead and to touch their body and for the Lord to be in control and to do as the Lord sees fit. But sometimes elders, the pastors are called and they gather around and they pray over someone. Or Christians gather around and they pray over someone. Why do we do that? Well, because God's called for us to do that in His Word. In verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You know that sometimes people are sick because of sin in their life? Sometimes it's because God wants to get their attention. Sometimes it's because they're just walking contrary to the things of God. And we're to be reminded of that. So, we take God's word. We need to heed God's word. Now the second main point on here, the persistency of prayer. 2 points to this, the persistency. One is found in verse, both probably are verse 16. Verse that says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Okay, that's dealing with, again, sickness. It's dealing with perhaps there's sin in your life that's causing sickness. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And this is effectual prayer, the fill in the blank, or effectual, fervent prayer. You know, in our prayer life, there should be praise, but there ought to be, in my mind anyhow, a sense of urgency when we pray. That's what it means, an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A sense of urgency that this is a great need. And you know, when you think of it, you go back to Matthew where it says knocking. When you knock on the door, you're not going to get someone's attention. So prayer has got to be that sense of urgency. And I think sometimes we kind of lack that. It's part of our growing and learning and maturing in the faith. Or else it can become stagnant. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35 on your handout. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Well, I always think of this verse, and I think if Jesus rose early in the morning, and Jesus went and spent time in a quiet place talking to his heavenly Father, then you and I ought to be doing that as well. I mean, he's the great example, amen? So, we talk about Jesus, sing about Jesus, read about Jesus, but the Bible says that you and I in Romans are to be conformed into the image of his Son. And so he gives us the example here. And do we take the example and then do we do it with an element of urgency as we approach the Lord? And then the second word here is importunate. It's a Bible word. How do you spell that, importunate? I-M-P-O-R-T-U-N-A-T-E. I-M-P-O-R-T-U-N-A-T-E. You say, that's in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. I'll show you where it is. But look first before we turn there. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 is a good example of this type of prayer. Peter says, this is when Peter was in prison. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It was made without ceasing. It would be like knocking and not stopping. Gideon, get back and knock some more, I would have told him. So you say, this is in the Bible. Sure, take your Bibles and go to the book of Luke chapter 8. Or excuse me, Luke chapter 11, verse 8. Luke chapter 11, verse 8. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 11, the disciples ask Jesus, they say this, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, and then this is verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, let me say, it's great to memorize those verses, but don't get into the habit where they become just like a daily ritual prayer, because then they can lose their meaning. You can take those verses, there's a whole lesson on prayer, but it becomes kind of like meaningless if that's your prayer each day. You know, you just pray what is often called the Our Father prayer. Great to memorize. You're going to learn a lot from it. But if it can just become so routine. And I'm sure most of us, we have friends and family members that are all caught up. One of the things I was getting across to the adults at the Adult Day Center today was this. Religion, much of religion is good to live by, but it's not good to die by. And I was trying to emphasize, because they all come from different backgrounds. And you know, we were talking about eternal life and the promises of God today. And we finished with the promise of eternal life. And so one of the ladies said, well, if you do what Jesus said and you live like Jesus and you obey His commandments, you can go to heaven. So I was trying to get a point across to them, because they come from all, like I said, Methodists, Catholics, the whole smorgasbord. I said, religion is good, except you can't die by it, because religion doesn't save you. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so if we just memorize these verses and we just kind of repeat them over and over again, it really becomes meaningless. It's just, it really doesn't have a lot of impact. It reminds me of a story I read. There was a guy who got on an airplane, and this was back in the days where they still fed you a meal on an airplane. And so he sat back as a businessman. I guess maybe in first class you can still get a meal, I don't know. And they brought the meal to him, and as he opened up the cover on the meal, there was a cockroach right on top of his plate. So he was upset. He paid a lot of money for this flight. He spoke to the stewardess and kind of let her know what he felt about all this. On the way out, you know how sometimes the captain is there and you can say something to the captain, and he spoke to the captain about it. But he got home and he was just fit to be tied. He wrote to the president of the airline. Well, he felt that he had done all that he could. He felt pretty satisfied by it. So he gets a letter back from the president of the airline. And it's a letter. The letter says, Dear so-and-so, we're very sorry with regards to what happened over your meal. We spoke to the stewardess. We spoke to the catering company. And we're looking at ways that this would never happen again. Signed, the president of the company. But then he noticed that they had sent back his letter. And on top of his letter was a little yellow post-it note. And it said, Beverly, send this guy the cockroach note. The letter really didn't mean anything. This was a form letter that they just sent out, and apparently there was all kinds of problems with cockroaches. I'm telling you that story because sometimes our prayer life, if it's just vain repetition, it doesn't really mean anything. Follow me? So, importune prayer, we see in Acts chapter 12. Peter, therefore, is kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing unto the church of God. If you have someone in your life that is not walking with the Lord and you're burdened for them, you should pray for them as much as you can. And you know what I do? There are different places and different times that I have a person who I pray for constantly. Think about it. Those places and those times are just reminders. Not that I really need that reminder, but it's just become a time where I'm going to always lift that person up in prayer. That's where you just keep knocking and you just keep asking. And then lastly, it's the prerequisite of prayer. A prerequisite of prayer. First, there needs to be positional righteousness. In other words, we need to be saved. You need to be born again for our prayer life to be really effective. Romans 10:10 says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The reason that we can go to the throne room of grace is because Jesus hung on the cross, shed His blood, and died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us that's why we have access to our Heavenly Father. That's what we mean by positional righteousness. We're positionally right with God because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. That He is our entrance to the throne room of grace where our prayers are heard. Not because of work, I'll just leave it at that. We've run out of time. But then there also should be practical righteousness in our lives. Notice on your handout, 1 John. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, listen, you and I, we need to walk worthy of the Lord. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all sin. Part of our prayer life is to confess our sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yeah, part of our prayer time is to praise the Lord. Part of our prayer time is to ask the Lord for different things going on in our lives. But part of our prayer time is for repentance. Just telling the Lord and confessing our sin in our lives. We all have sin in our lives. And that's practical righteousness, living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord, living a life that is right before Him. And look at verse 17. It's an interesting verse. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. This is the great prophet. And sometimes we think of these prophets like they're superhuman. He was a man like you and I that are men. And plenty of women in the Bible that were great prayer warriors. We think of Hannah. She prayed and she asked God for a son. She's just a woman of like passion. But God heard her prayers. None of these people were perfect. And the Bible says that Elias came and he prayed and he prayed earnestly. That's fervent prayer. That's importune prayer. That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So we see just from examples in the Bible, it's just people praying. That's all it is. It's just you and me as people praying and talking to God, praising Him in our prayer, and repentance in our prayer, and asking Him in our prayer. And then if you wanted the why to that, it would be to yield. That all of our prayer life should deal with yielding unto the Lord. In fact, verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, well, if we're erring from the truth, it means we're not yielding unto the Lord. But then our great responsibility is this: let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Listen, as we walk together through this world, there are things in our lives sometimes that another brother or sister comes to us and says, listen, this is wrong. You can't be doing this. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so sometimes we see that. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and I said, you know, you really need to be back in church. You really need to be back in church. I know, I know. They're walking out of step with God and the things of God. So sometimes we have to do that. Any number of other things that you know, we deal with people about. So having a heart for prayer, there's a purpose behind it. Our daily strength, a daily process, a daily presence, our persistency of prayer. Make sure it's effectual, fervent, and importune. That it's without ceasing. Don't give up on prayer. And then, of course, the prerequisite. I didn't think I needed to spend a lot of time on this tonight because I think we all understand you have to be saved. You have to be born again. The Scriptures teach that. There's a lot of people who aren't saved that are praying prayers, and they're hoping that the multitude of prayers is gaining them some kind of merit with Jesus, because they've been taught that. They've been deceived into that. Or there are some who are praying to Mary. I remember Frank was talking to somebody one time, and they said they prayed to Mary. What'd you tell them? I thought that was pretty good. I forgot exactly how you put it, but it was a Frankism. Yeah, right. You might as well pray to me. It's true, right? Yeah. Actually, no. At least you'll hear them. And and they're praying to the saints. You know, when you think about that, it's demonic, because you're drawing your attention away from Jesus. So anyhow, that's our lesson on prayer tonight. Have a heart of prayer for the things of God. Be a praying people. Spend time in prayer, whether in church or outside of church. Just talk to the Lord. And the ears of the Lord are open unto us all the time. Amen? All right, I'll have a short word of prayer, and then we'll go to our prayer time. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now our prayer time. Lord, thank you for listening to our prayers and answering them according to your will. I know sometimes, Lord, we ask and we have not because we ask not, but sometimes we ask amiss. And we're thankful, Lord, that when we ask amiss, you're there to make sure that we don't make a mistake, get ahead of ourselves or ahead of you. But bless this prayer time now. In Jesus' name, amen.